Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
It is with sad news that you report this afternoon that the godfather of metal has Parkinson's disease. Ozzy Osbourne making his debut as your artist of the day and announcing today that he has Parkinson's.
Can I ask
Fuck it, the moon.
What I think a lot of people are wondering in their minds right now?
Was it induced by his drugs and alcohol?
I thought that that was settled law. I would have said when he had the reality show he had Parkinson's. He shuffled, remember? Mm-hmm. He shook. I just always thought he had it.
I have to agree with Dana.
I just always thought he was drunk.
When he said to me, just like, we're in the newsroom, Rebecca, and he goes, oh, Ozzy Osbourne has Parkinson's. And I went, well, yeah, for like 20 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, this is new?
Ah.
He announced it on Good Morning America this morning with Robin Roberts that he has Parkinson's disease. Sharon, who is never shy to use her husband to make a lot of money, said this is not a death sentence and he will continue to tour.
Okay.
But Sharon Osbourne, I think, loves the money more than she loves Ozzy.
Well, she's put up with a lot.
Your keyword this hour is joy, J-O-Y, joy. Text that into 72881, and you're in the running for $1,000 with the keyword to cash. He never bit the head off of a rat. He did bite the head off of a dove.
That was a bat.
That was not a real bat.
Oh.
The dove, though, when he met with CBS Records in 1979-80, that was a real dove. And he did bite the head off that dove, and he did spit it out.
Gross.
Of the tongue.
Dove.
Yeah, that's nasty.
That's true.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys hear, because we're still talking about the Chiefs, everybody is. Everybody here who's calling the game for the Super Bowl?
Is it Joe Buck?
The infamous.
Joe Buck is calling the game for the Super Bowl. And he will be accompanied by Troy Aikman, who I kind of sort of used to respect, and now I think he's just a total D. In September, The Athletic tweeted out that Mahomes had already thrown for 36% of Aikman's career touchdowns in about 8% of the games. Aikman, the former Dallas Cowboys star, responded, "Talk to me when he has 33% of my Super Bowl titles."
Wow!
Ouch.
Wow!
Now, I would remind Mr. Aikman that Mr. Mahomes is going to a Super Bowl at the age of 24, and I'm pretty sure that you never did.
And he's only in his second starting year.
Ooh.
Man, Mr. Aikman, a little sensitive much? Sheesh.
Guess what I watched last night? Against every fiber of my being. But then Mackie said he was watching it, and every time I turn on Netflix, I see the teaser for it. I watched the Aaron Hernandez documentary.
Oh, tell me more. What's that? What is that on?
Wow.
Netflix.
It is
Netflix?
On Netflix. Have you seen it yet, Sam?
I have not watched it, but just like you, I've seen it show up about every time
I watched the trailer, and I'm like, is there anything new here? I mean, I definitely remember he went to trial for murder. I remember that, but I couldn't really remember why. And I definitely remember his death, but what I did not know, because I'm not some huge New England fan, nor was I a Florida fan when he played in college, was all of the death he's connected to over the years. Mm-hmm. And they go back through recorded jailhouse conversations that will just...
He was a bad cat.
I mean, wow. You know, he's accused in one time frame, and they do a very good job of clearly breaking down the time frame with a timeline. he's accused in one episode of gunning down two people in this long ago unsolved murder.
That was in Florida.
And then going to play football.
Yeah.
Like, and the whole time they're saying these fans are cheering for a murderer and they don't even know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a bad cat.
And then they come back around, Scott, and they link it to what did everyone know and when did they know it?
Mm.
And they link it to CTE. And there is no disputing that his brain, when they studied it in Boston upon his death, was just destroyed by CTE. And that's not an excuse, but there is certainly a possible explanation for his explosive anger and rage. And I suggest watching it. I thought it was very, very well done. Someone asked me on Twitter, does it make you feel sympathetic toward him? Because I don't want to feel sympathy for this psychopath. I said 99% of you will not feel sympathy for him. Like, but there will be a tiny part of a lot of people, I think, that the, like a little tiny, tiny 1% part of you that will.
Feel sympathy for him.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I'm
tiny
glad.
Part.
I'm glad he's gone. He was a serial killer.
I mean, he's never been called that, and I don't know why, but under the classic definition, you are correct.
Mm-hmm. So I found this really interesting story today on the New York Daily News. What states hate other states? And every state hates another state.
Yeah.
Okay? Would you care to guess the most hated state in America?
California.
Yes, you would be correct. Would you care to guess which states hate California? Don't say all of them because that's not true.
Yeah. Which states the most?
Which states hate, when they surveyed people in these states, the majority said, I hate California.
Kansas has got to be up there.
No, Kansas is not even on the list.
New really? York?
No. God, no.
Is it the border states like Arizona, Nevada?
Yes.
Okay.
Keep going.
Oregon?
Yes.
Why?
Keep going.
I don't know.
Washington, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Utah, and Colorado all listed California as the state they hate the most.
Why would Colorado hate California?
I don't know, because maybe they don't have anybody else to hate. Okay, I have no idea. Say. I mean, if you're in Colorado, who do you hate?
You got the mountains, you got the fresh air.
Would you care to guess who Oklahoma hated the most?
I hope it's not Kansas.
No, it's not, actually.
I don't know who.
Texas. Would you care to guess who Texas hated the most?
Is it Oklahoma?
Yep.
Hey, at least they're, you know, in mutual agreement on that one.
Are Kansas and Missouri reciprocal?
Yes.
I knew. I mean, that's foregone conclusion.
Kansas is the only state that listed Missouri as the state they hate the most, and Missouri is the only state that listed Kansas as the state they hate the most.
And we live it literally every day of our lives.
Well, at least we're in the same bed together.
Mm-hmm. We hate each other.
That's fine.
The states that hate Massachusetts, for example, are Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine, and Rhode Island. They all hate Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. That's so weird. Who hates New York?
New York is, let's see here, hates New York. Only one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
New Jersey.
Nope, Massachusetts.
Okay.
New Jersey is listed as saying it hates everyone. And I'm not kidding.
It's probably pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm. It's the only state that falls under the hates everyone category.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a story in the stack today.
By the way, Hawaii is the only state listed as doesn't hate anyone.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And we were not looking to make this a topic, but it will make your vein pop because so many states hate California. There is a new surcharge when you go to California, Scott, and you eat at certain nice restaurants, okay? It's called a climate surcharge.
Okay.
Listen to this story. Waiter, there's a climate surcharge in my soup. American restaurant diners usually don't think before adding an extra 15 to 20% tip onto their bills, yada, yada, yada. But there is a new surcharge raising eyebrows. It will not be in all restaurants, But take Restaurant Week, for example. The normal $40 per head has become $40.50. Some restaurants plan to add trees and do better things for the environment, and you can order certain items that will be more expensive if you love the environment, and you will see it on your tab as a climate surcharge.
Thank you, Texter. We'll get to that story that you just read in just a moment. But somebody said, look at Florida. And so I did. Guess which states hate Florida?
Georgia, Alabama.
Yep, both of those.
Mississippi.
There's one other, and it's not Mississippi.
South Carolina.
States that hate Florida. No, South Carolina hates North Carolina. South Carolina hates... I don't see the corresponding color there, but anyway, it doesn't matter. The three states listed that hate Florida are Georgia, Alabama, and Florida.
Florida hates Florida.
Florida hates Florida the most.
That is awesome.
If you aren't 75 look, and rich and retired,
look, green is
and you hates, live there, you probably do hate Florida.
Look, dark green is hates Florida.
It's great.
Georgia, Alabama, and Florida. Hates Florida.
I love it.
If you took the retirees out.
That's so funny.
That's probably true. Awesome.
Especially if they're Dolphins fans.
God.
Man, you hate your own state. Wow. All right. 576-7798. 576, preview that story again real quick before
well,
we get to the break.
I don't even know that we need to talk about it. Would you be willing to pay more for food that is prepared in a more climate-friendly way?
What does that even
right
mean?
Down to the way like that they ship the fish to you. You know, all of that stuff creates a carbon footprint. We don't have seafood naturally in Kansas. So, you know, like swordfish. That has to be shipped here from somewhere.
Right.
And that is bad for the environment. Would you be willing to pay more, like a surcharge, for a more climate-friendly way to get that stuff to your table? And I think most people listening would say no.
Most people would say no, and I would be among them. No.
You don't care how your lobster gets here.
Does it taste good?
Is it a surcharge from the restaurant or from the state?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's from the restaurant.
Well, but where does the money go?
Yeah.
To make you feel better.
Oh. 576-7798. I let you go for so long. It's a nice day to start again. Come on, it's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again. Oh, I found a doozy. Actually, I think you found a doozy. University of Missouri students, be warned. If it's not Big Brother watching you, it may be your professors and university administrators. The school is using hidden technology and an app on students' cell phones to keep track of who is in class and who is not. Officials say it's for the students' own good. Besides, they say, MU's athletic department has been using the tracking app for the last 4 years for all freshman athletes, plus any athlete in academic trouble. Now, as a test pilot, the school, the University of Missouri, is expanding the program to any student new to campus for this semester, which starts today. Uh-huh. Faculty volunteered to have their classes be part of the test. Their students will not be given a choice.
Faculty volunteered to be part of this. Students will not be given the choice.
A student, according to Jim Spain, vice provost, a student will have to participate in the recording of attendance, end quote. Every student involved will be told ahead of time that attendance is being monitored. University officials will even work with students who don't have a phone to make sure that they can participate.
Oh yeah, we're going to track those kids too.
But critics worry that the monitoring could go way beyond a professor's old school attendance records and is the first step down a path of invasion of privacy. The phone app, by the way, is called Spotter, and it was developed by a former Mizzou basketball coach.
Spotter, as in we either spot you in class or we don't.
It's outrageous.
It is outrageous. The customer is the student.
That is correct. And the student has a choice whether they want to attend class or not.
They absolutely do. Now, a professor has, within reason, the right to say, if you miss more than three classes, your grade will be docked. If you miss five, your grade will be docked. But the fact that the students were given no opportunity to either opt in or out bothers me. Your daughter's probably told you this, Scott. A lot of these classes do like a fun little trivia quiz at the beginning, and you get a code, and there's an app that you have to pay for, and you log in when you sit down in class, and you answer the question about the Kansas City Chiefs going to the Super Bowl. All of the kids that then answer that trivia question are logged in as having attended.
What if I'm running 5 minutes late?
Then you miss the attendance. And we ran into that one semester where my son's phone would not and was not communicating with the app. So they did have a system for those kids where you could go down and physically sign in, which he did. And then we figured out the app, and he was fine. And that even bothered me a little bit. But
what if I'm?
Why do they care if you're there or not?
Well, they shouldn't care if you're there or not. You're paying to go to college. This is not high school.
Now, they should go. Your grade will reflect it if you don't.
Sure, my daughter better have her butt in class today. I know KU started back up today as well, and I am paying, as is her mother, to send her to college. I'm paying on the hope and presumption that she is sitting her butt in class and learning.
Yeah.
And getting good grades so that she can get a good job when she gets out of college. However, I am the client. I am the customer. If my daughter, who is also the client and customer, decides that she doesn't feel like going to class that day, then she shouldn't go to class. What do they do if a kid is sick?
Each of these classes has an attendance policy outlined at the beginning of the semester. It's in the syllabus.
Obviously, this is for large auditorium classes.
Yeah.
Okay? This is not for the small Eastern Asian studies class. Okay?
Do you have a problem with them rolling this out for the athletes?
Yes.
Why?
Because the school should not be in the business of monitoring the whereabouts of adults.
However, if the school is paying your room and board and tuition because you are there on scholarship, does the school not have an interest in you being there?
Yes, they do. And they can find out. Hey, Professor Wright, was Tony Smith in class today? He's an athlete of mine. I just wanted to know.
Well, what they're saying is it's not appropriate to even ask them to do that because they would have to hire multiple people to go to every class for every athlete to make sure they were there. And in fact, they actually put a number to this, Scott, and said, you know, years ago when they actually hired people to go make sure the athletes were in class, it costs like something like $40,000 a year to do that.
Okay, that's fine. Here's my concern. You can't turn the app off, okay? I have actually two concerns. Number one, if it's primarily for large auditorium classrooms, what's to prevent me? I mean, don't act like you didn't have a friend in every class. Somebody that you could say,
oh, the way around this is so easy, it's ridiculous.
Hey, will you? I can't make class today, or I don't feel like making class today.
Take my phone.
Will you take my phone in with you?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Here's the other thing that bothers me, and this is the one that bothers me the most. Unless the school agrees to only turn on the app when the students are supposed to be in classes,
mm-hmm.
If they continue, and I would imagine that they do, to keep the app running when students are out of class, no way. That is a violation of their personal privacy. I don't care if you're a student athlete or not. And it keeps a growing record of where you are at all times.
Okay.
And that is wrong.
And who's keeping the data and who has access
to
that data?
That's exactly my concern.
So here is a quote. I'm going to read it from one of the professors, and you tell me what you think about it. Spotter is a lot less intrusive than how we, all of us, are tracked and tagged electronically every day. We've not taken away a student's freedom to not come or come to class, but if they are not there, the professor's just going to know.
Well, take attendance. 576-7798. 576-7798. By the way, if you missed the news, Jack Buck, or Joe Buck, sorry, Joe Buck, Jack Buck's dead. Joe Buck is calling the Super Bowl this year.
Enjoy. Yeah.
Enjoy. And Troy Aikman, who's kind of a douche himself.
Yeah.
Story from the Kansas City Star, the University of Missouri, for freshmen and for some student athletes, will now be using a certain app called Spotter, where they're going to be able to track whether you are in class when you're supposed to be or not. That's how they're going to do attendance, especially for freshmen and some student athletes.
Mizzou says knowing when a student stops coming to class is not just about grades. Quote, say a student's been coming for 3 weeks and then suddenly is not coming. I can reach out and say, hey, I noticed you aren't coming to class. How can I help?
By leaving me alone and getting off my ass? I don't know. This is outrageous, outrageous and invasive, and there is no one who can defend this. These are adults. Imagine if your business put a tracker on you, and maybe they do. I would find, unless you're in a company car company cell phone, they have no business tracking where you are. If they don't like it, fire you. But they have no, and people might argue, well, it's legal. They're a business. They can track you. I would quit that job today. If you're going to track where I go, kiss it.
And you've got to flip this around, Scott, because that's your boss tracking you if you are driving the boss's car. In this case, theoretically, the students are the boss. They are the ones paying tens of thousands of dollars to be there. They are the customer. And the university is tracking the customer.
That's a great point. 576-7798. Dom in Topeka. Dom, good afternoon and hello, my friend.
How are you? Nice to speak to you again, Mr. Scott. Hello, Ms. Dana.
Always a pleasure.
Hello.
Okay, so my dad, who passed away 2 months ago,
sorry,
was a teacher for over 50 years at a small school in Neuchâtel, New York. His attendance policy was plain and simple. He had an 8:30 class. You showed up at class at 8:30. If you didn't, by 8:35, the door was locked. You were no longer allowed in the class. Now, of course, a little later on into the class, he unlocked the door because fire codes couldn't keep the door
locked. Yeah, I don't think that's legal, Dom.
Well, no. I mean, he had to unlock the doors, but he did it for like 10 minutes because if he showed up late. Now, he got many, 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 and I mean many complaints from the school. And the school's response was, it's his class. If you're not showing up at 8:30, then you're not there. As for this new rule or whatever, Scott's right. It's like tracking a customer. And they don't have any right to. It's my money. If I want to waste $20,000 to go to pay a school and not go, well, then I guess, you know, that's my problem. I'm losing $20,000. It's not the school is losing the money. They get it, whether I show up for class or not. So it is kind of invasive because you're tracking me, and maybe I don't want to be tracked. Yeah. Maybe I want to spend $20,000 and not show up for class. That should be my right, shouldn't it?
Why is that door closed? Why is that door closed?
How are we supposed to know? We're not supposed to move, right?
Why?
We're just sitting here, like we're supposed to.
Who closed that door?
I think a screw fell out of it.
It just closed, sir.
Who?
She doesn't talk, sir.
Give me that screw.
I don't have it.
You want me to yank you out of that seat and shake it out of you?
I don't have it. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
Give it to me, Bender.
Excuse me, sir. Why would anybody want to steal a screw?
Watch
it, Missy.
That The door's way too heavy, sir.
A violation of fire code, sir.
But what if there's a fire? Think endangering the lives of children at this juncture in your career? I can recite that movie front, backward, forward,
obviously,
sideways.
You did off the air just now. That was incredible.
Look up the legacy of Boston's Coconut Grove fire. That is the reason we have rules about doors in the United States.
Oh, man.
Talk, sir. So yes, I don't think you can just lock the doors.
Parks, what is the name of that movie? I love it. Breakfast Club?
Excuse me, sir. Why would anyone steal a screw?
576-7798. The University of Missouri is tracking through an app called Spotter, and the students, by the way, don't have an option. And the school is willing to work with students who don't have cell phones. Like the one.
Well, but listen, Scott, my son, his phone would not talk to that app and vice versa, and he tried everything. And so he was one of a handful of kids in a class with 300 kids who would walk down every day, make eye contact with the TA or the professor, physically sign in his name until we got it figured out some 2 to 3 weeks into the semester. And a lot of these classes now are tying attendance to your grade. I don't remember if we had that when we were in school, where you had to be there and sign in.
They didn't give one red hot damn.
I agree with you. I don't remember anyone caring whether you were there or not there.
I can attest to that as a current college student. Nobody really cares. Even in my smaller classes at UMKC, if I'm not there, the next time I show up to class, they're like, hey, welcome back.
It drives me crazy. Some of these classes, and you should ask your daughter, Scott, have some very strict attendance policies.
I'll text her here in a few minutes. Paul in Kansas City. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was calling just to say that I'm not clear on if the students have the option to opt in for this type of tracking.
No.
But and either Paul, way.
Paul, wait. Can you turn your radio down, please?
Oh, yeah.
Very important.
There we go.
Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Be loud and clear and a lot better. Paul, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea in terms of, like, you know, I understand that legally these kids are adults, but this really, as freshmen, the first time, maybe many of them are living away from home. They have a lot of independence, and this could just be another tool that helps to make sure that they're.
Well,
you do make bad choices.
But isn't it up to them to learn? To learn how to navigate what you've got to do to get your stuff done?
That's true. And, you know, we have this whole debate about how much hand-holding do you give a child. Again, it's being that, you know, you're a freshman in college, there's a lot of life changes going on. I know myself, personally, or other people, sometimes you make bad decisions as a young adult.
So
and
what?
When you get, let me finish.
Okay.
And when you get older, you might wish that you had a certain type of safety net, or you had somebody there who might have just said, "Hey, you're getting off the right, you're getting on the wrong path. I'm going to help try to nudge you over, at least give you the opportunity."
Okay.
And I went to college. I seen it where, you know, students can start to form bad habits. You know, students that were good students in high school. Again, everybody's different. You know.
But
university is not going to use this information in a way that violates privacy, so
okay.
to speak.
All right, Paul.
You know, I see that being a concern. But if it's this as a tool to monitor who's attending class regularly, I don't see an issue with that.
Okay, let me ask you a question because we're short on time. We got to get to the break.
Right.
You mentioned two things that just irked me, and not in I'm not mad at you, obviously. I just disagree with you. You mentioned the word kids, which these people are not kids anymore. They might be my kid, but they're not kids. They're adults. Number two.
I mentioned young adults. We're getting semantics there. Same thing.
Okay, fine. Go ahead. You also mentioned making bad choices. Well, right. Would you agree that drinking 30 beers in one day might be a bad choice for somebody who's 18 years old?
Well, I don't. no, this really is about drinking beer.
It's not. It's not. But would you agree that drinking 30 beers in one day as an 18-year-old might be a bad choice?
I think at any age, that's a bad choice.
Okay, very good. Would you agree that sleeping with two or three different people in one day might be a bad choice?
That's everyone's prerogative on that one.
All right. So if you would agree that drinking 30 beers in one day at the age of 18, or any age for that matter, is a bad choice, how about we install a system for freshmen only at the University of Missouri, or any university for that matter, where every day you have to go and take a pee test so that we can make sure that you're not making bad decisions?
Yeah, but I think we're, like, taking this a little too far, though.
Well, I always wonder when we get on slippery slope.
We're kind of expanding the context here, and I'm just calling it about this specific issue where they want to attract the students.
And Paul, like I said, thank you for the call. If you think for 1 second that data can't be compromised, you have lost your mind.
And if this is
some athletic director assistant who came up with this app, you honestly believe that data will not be tracked and used or could be compromised? There's no way, Scott.
And Dana, here's a scenario I could imagine. I would think that the person who is monitoring this data is probably not the chancellor, not being paid $250,000 a year. It's probably a 21-year-old student, right? At the university. I know we got to get to break. I'll make my point very quickly. A student can be bribed. I think my girlfriend is cheating on me. I think she's with another man right now. I will give you $50 if you will look into that system and tell me where she is right now.
Yep.
This is dangerous territory. The University of Missouri has absolutely no right to spy on these students. And that's what they are doing, is spying on students. 576-7798.
Was not what I had planned, and now I'm not so sure just where I stand. I wasn't looking for true love, but now you're looking at me. You're the only one I can think of.
We'll get back to the phones here in just a second.
Only one I see.
But I want to address a text that just came in from 4209. College and the increased independence are life learning skills, but something that helps keep college and young adults accountable, isn't that similar to a time clock for a job once they get out? No, it's not. Because with the time clock at your job, when you get out, they're paying you. In college, you're paying them. And therein lies the difference. And somebody else writes in, let me go find this one here in a second. Where did it go? Dang it. I'll find it here in a second. Oh, here it is. Some bad choices, like drinking beer, is a 2 or 3 day consequence compared to skipping class for a semester. That becomes a $10,000 consequence.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Yes, and that sucks.
And that is true. But those $10,000 belong to either you, the person who loaned it to you, or your family. So the University of Missouri, there is no defending what the University of Missouri
is. You know what I don't understand? If you, as a parent, and you're paying for college for your kid, if you want to know what their grades are, if you have a doctor appointment question that they're trying to help schedule.
This happens at KU. It's called Top Hat.
Oh,
I just heard from Sarah.
Don't you get me started. But I don't know that Top Hat tracks the kids. The kids have to log in and say, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. If you as a parent want any information about your kid through the school, right, you do not have access to that information. And why will they not tell you that information, Scott, even if you're paying the bill? Why will they not tell you as the parent what your kid is doing, how their grades are, or where they're going Friday night?
Right to privacy?
It's right to privacy. Mm-hmm. And it's right to privacy because the student is now an adult.
That is correct.
Good luck trying to get your kids' grades if they don't sign off on it expressly at the beginning of the year. They are treated as adults.
And I would remind you, the University of Missouri is in and of itself an educational system, but it is also what?
State.
That's right. It's the government. This is the government tracking your location.
It's the same thing as you, like your healthcare provider can't tell your parents what's going on with you once
Correct.
You turn 18
Correct.
Unless you sign the form.
Let's go to David in Blue Springs. David, good afternoon. Hello.
Yes. I would tend to agree that it's an invasion unless they have a student loan. If they have a student loan and they might default, they would be a lot more likely to default if they're not attending class and they end up not doing well in school because of it. And sticking the taxpayer for the bill. And in that case, I think that the school and the government absolutely would have a say in whether they were going to issue another loan the next semester or the next year.
But they're not going to issue another loan, David, or semester anyway if you flunked out of school. They wouldn't issue a loan anyway under that circumstance.
Well, they may not flunk out, but they may do poorly and still be, even if they don't flunk out, they may still have trouble finding a job later.
But whether
even if they only get moderate grade.
But David, whether you attend class or not, you are still legally liable for that loan. Would you not agree?
You are, but how many students that took out loans end up defaulting and the government never gets their money from them?
I have a loan for my mortgage and I have a loan on my car. Does Capital Federal or U.S. Bank have the right to track my location?
Well, that's not a government loan.
Not all loans are from the government. And by the way, the fact that the government might loan me money and then track my whereabouts is even more alarming to me. The government.
But they have an interest in you paying it back.
Yes, they have an interest in me paying it back. They should not, nor should they be allowed to have an interest in where I am.
And I will say this, Scott. The loans can be tied to your grades. They should not be tied to attendance. If someone loans you as an honors college student tuition books and maybe $6,000 for incidentals, and then the next semester they look at your grades and you have completely flunked out because you're not going to class, I think they would have the right to say, if you are not going to go and you are going to fail, we are no longer going to provide you this stipend or whatever it's structured as.
By the way, I was texting with Sarah. Here's how Top Hat works. When you go to class, okay, they don't like know your physical whereabouts,
right,
as they do with Spotter at Mizzou.
It's trivia.
What they do is, like the large auditorium classes, she was explaining this to me on text, you go into the class, there's a code that they put up on the screen.
Yeah.
And you have to type in that code into the Top Hat
yes.
app. And that's how they know if you're in class or not. But once you leave the class, they're not tracking
right.
you anymore. They're not tracking you at all. You could type in the code and then walk out.
Well, and as a student who hated to go to class, you can also not go to class and still get A's.
Isn't that crazy?
It's weird.
I don't think your butt in that seat should be tied to anything.
I would randomly skip classes all the time simply because I didn't want to go. And I still, I mean, I had to maintain a 3.75 for my scholarships, so...
5-7. We may bring this back up in the 5 o'clock hour. This is a fascinating story to me.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.